Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of All Ball Chicago. I'm your co-host, Robert Bobby Reed, and I got the legend, the NBA veteran, the McDonald All-American, your host, Marcus, living in the building. What's up, Marcus?
What's up, my beautiful people?
And we got a special guest. He's going to show up, but I'm going to wait for his intro because I've been waiting for this my entire life. You know what I'm saying? So when he pop on, I got one for the big fella, man. What's up, big Marcus? How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, you know, all is well, man. All is well. No complaints on my end, you know, trying to stay afloat, man. You know what I'm saying?
You complain, ain't nobody going to listen.
Ah, that's what my mom used to say, my dad.
Hey, real quick, Lib, this might be a little bit off subject, but what is the Lakers trying to do here, bro?
Oh, the Lakers, man, it looks like they're trying to build a team.
A super-duper team?
Of you know, older guys, wiser guys, you know, that understand the game. And I think they you know what they say, man. They say LeBron is trying to, you know, get more championships, you know.
Right,
I don't think he's
right.
Playing for anything else but that.
Right. I agree. And he definitely got DeAndre Jordan now. And he got Dwight Howard.
But you should be thinking about winning, you know, championships too. You know, so
right.
I don't think it's nothing wrong with LeBron trying to solidify his legacy, you know, up there with the top dogs, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, mentioning the GOAT, you know, that GOAT conversation that people always talk about. I don't really get involved with that, but that's what I see, you know, is happening. So,
well, you know what, man, I think looking back, Michael and all of them wish they would have did it. Because Bron, he didn't master it. Nah, look, the NBA putting the old guys out every day, he going to get them dudes, man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because Rondo on his way out, Dwight Howard on his way out, Carmelo on his way out. I mean, who else? Trevor Ariza on his way out.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas. Did they end up signing Isaiah Thomas?
I don't know if they signed Isaiah Thomas or not. I really don't know if they signed him or not. But I do know they definitely going out for veteran, you know, players. So if they didn't, I know they mentioned that they was thinking about signing him.
Yeah, this reminds me of Phil Jackson's mentality, how he used to put all those old vets around Scottie and Pip.
Right.
I mean, Pip and Mike. You know, remember that Bulls team when he had John Sally, James right. Edwards, Dennis Rodman. And then he had Chief on the team. Remember? Like, Chief was 57 years old in the NBA, man.
Oh. Hey, I think we may have my man getting ready to come on, man. So
I'm ready,
bro. People hear us talk all the time, man. So let's bring the big fella on, man. Let's get him on.
All right, let's do it.
There he is.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to All Ball Chicago. I got to give you an intro, big fella. I got to get into you, man. Man, we got a special guest in the building today. He was a McDonald All-American. He was an NBA veteran. He's an NBA veteran, McDonald All-American. He also tore down the walls at CBS. He did his thing in Michigan. And he went to the NBA, won multiple championships as a coach and a player. Man, give it up to one of my favorite guys, Juwan Howard, man. What's up, big fella?
What's up, fellas? Can y'all hear me?
Yep, we can hear you, man. We can hear you loud and clear, man. That's
good, hey, man. How y'all doing, man?
Man, we good. And I know you. It's time, and it's that time. It's that college basketball season, man. So I want to thank you, man, for, you know, giving us some of your time today to come on and join us on All Ball Chicago.
Well, fellas, man, I really appreciate you all inviting me. But, you know, I would let you all know this, man, that anytime when it's about, you know, something involving home, Chicago, a guy who I respect a lot and I grew up loving, I'm a huge fan, one of my heroes, Marcus Liberty. Wow. Come on, man, I will be on this anytime, and I would do it for any one of us, you know, people that I know that's from the, as we say, the crib.
That's right.
The crib, dog.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
No doubt, man. No doubt. And we always started off, Nuke, with who put the rock in your hand, man, at a young age to get you to start playing basketball. Who was that person?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would have to go with when I was living on 69th and Harper, and that was this park called Chestnut Park, and the Chestnut is still there, but unfortunately, the guys are not playing basketball no longer on that park. But there were some OGs in the neighborhood, man. They saw that I was tall, you know, they were like, man, they found out my age, and they're like, hold up, man, you're fifth grade, you know, going to kindergarten, and you this tall? Like, man, one of the OGs that lived in my building, man, he was his name was Mickey. He passed away, but they used to always go to Chestnut and hoop, and he was one of the guys that said, "Hey, man, you need to like try this little round, little orange thing right here, because you know if you really embrace this, this is something that's really going to help you maybe get yourself out of this hood." He was the guy that inspired me and really got me into playing basketball, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting, man, that, you know, you were that tall. I wasn't that tall when I was a little shorty, man. I didn't start growing until seventh grade.
You know, really?
Yeah. So I started growing when I was in seventh grade. So I was playing, but I was like a guard, you know? So I was dribbling the basketball and everything. So when that height came, Nuke, and that's when everything just fell into place for me. You know, so who was that? I know you said it on one of your shows before. Who was that guy you looked up to?
Man.
You know, as a shorty.
As a shorty, you know, you. You were one of those guys, man. I first watched you play back in, I know you don't even know this, but Washington Park. You know, that was like this little tournament going on in Washington Park. And at that time, I had to be like a freshman in high school, and maybe eighth grade. Yes, it was eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And I was going to my freshman year, and you happened to be playing with some guys at Washington Park indoor. It was an indoor at that gym on Washington Park. And I was wondering, like, man, oh boy, man, he big dude got some handles, man. He's skilled and he can shoot. And you guys were losing the game, and you made this one move where you back dribble out between your legs, and you had two guys double team. You pulled up with a three. Bam, you hit it. And then you came down on the next possession after y'all got a stop, and you went down and you dunked it. And I was like, yo, boy. Like, they started talking about this Marcus Liberty from King. And I was like, oh, yeah, I heard about him in newspapers. And I remember reading about you because that's when newspapers were popular. That's when we used to always go grab the Sun-Times or the Defender or the Tribune, and you were always in the newspaper, and that's when I was like, you know what, man, I want to be like him. He's skilled. And then from there, I kept following your career, and, you know, you just, you know, really inspired a lot of kids, not only myself, on what you have impact on the game of basketball as we all were growing up, watching you go out there on the court, do your thing.
Appreciate that, Newt, man. I appreciate that. Really, I do. And I think I already reached out to you before and told you that too once before, but you just never know, man. Like, you really never know who you can touch, you know, through this game of basketball. And I think you did that along with your fellow teammates at Michigan. People wanted to be like you guys. People wanted to touch you guys. People wanted to follow in your footsteps. You was one of the founders to me. I'm going to say founders of that Fab Five. You the one helped orchestrate that, put that together. What was going through your mind when you were saying, you know, because you was the first one that committed to Michigan.
Yeah.
You saying, I know I can bring two, three other guys, or you already had it in your mind how you going to play it out?
Well, I'll answer your question second. But okay. First, I want to say it would never been a Fab Five because I was going to go to Illinois.
Wow.
And I was going to Illinois because, you know, I had always went to their team camp. So when I was in high school at CVS, our high school coach used to send us down to Illinois team camp, and we played against schools like East St. Louis, mm-hmm. Lincoln with Konzo Martin on their team. And we also played against other schools that were in the state of Illinois. And so I got an opportunity to get the chance to meet, you know, Coach Nagy, Lou Henson in a little bit, but I built the relationship with Coach Nagy and also with Coach Jimmy Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Coons was there as well. Jimmy Coons, mm-hmm. his last name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up like watching, obviously, you and Nick Anderson, Kendall Gill, Mo Hamilton, Kenny Battle. You know, that team in 89 was just so damn inspiring, entertaining to watch. Being undersized like some other college teams,
mm-hmm.
you know, like y'all biggest dude on y'all starting lineup was like 6'7".
Yeah,
that was Lowell Hamilton, who was playing center, and then y'all had Irvin Smalls coming off the bench, and then you also had Larry Smith as the other guard coming off the bench, along with Stephen Bartle, the starting guard.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yo, this team is for real. And then y'all was all from the crib, you know, the majority of y'all, and some of them from the suburb of Chicago, but it was a team that was based only out of the state of Illinois. So that's why I was like, wow, I want to go out there and I want to play for that Orange Crush and
ooh.
Watch the Orange Crush support me while I'm in the, you know, up in Champaign. And so then when they got into the situation where there was a little differences with Iowa, and I'm not going to go into details about it, but it sort of set them back on their recruiting and recruiting me. But Jimmy Collins was still locked in and you know, he was still recruiting me. But it wasn't the same because there was concerns that there may be like some type of NCAA infraction.
Uh-huh.
Then I had to move to option B. And Michigan was that second school that really excited me. And then I said, you know what? You know, I want to win. And I've always looked at basketball as a team sport. I never looked at it as far as my stats. And I wanted like, you know, just score the points, or I want to be that dude. I'm like, man, I think you got to do when you show that you win a championship. So I wanted to make sure that if I did go to Michigan, I was going to recruit and help them recruit. And I was committed to helping them recruit other guys. And so I got Jimmy to come and, you know, I got Chris to come. And that's unheard of when a guy like Chris Webber, who's from the state of Michigan, and he plays the same position as me, that you would want a guy that plays the same position as you to come to the same school. I didn't give a
right
about any of that. I just want to win, man. So I was like, yo, come on. Not only that, he's going to help me get better in practice because I'm going to compete against this dude in practice, and I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm never running from competition. So that's how, yeah, I got the Michigan thing flowing, and I wasn't going to come there unless I brought some dudes with me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that you
yeah, I was going to go to Illinois, go play with Deion Thomas. And, you know, if you would have stayed a couple more years, I guess I probably would have caught you as a senior. Who knows?
Definitely.
But, your boy Brooks, what's his name, Brooks Taylor?
Brooks Taylor.
Yeah, Brooks Taylor would have been, I think my freshman year, he probably would have been a junior.
Okay.
Yeah, Brooks Taylor had game, man.
Yeah, Brooks was a good player. I don't know.
Liv, you got an echo?
Yeah, do you?
That's a small.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, but yeah, Juwan, so after that, like, once you got that team together and then you guys started doing your thing, man, like, I even got excited. Like, you were saying how you was watching Illinois. I was watching Michigan, with you being on the team. And I knew – you know, Jalen Rose a little bit, watching him play, you know. So I was like, man, that squad there reminds me a little bit of the University of Illinois.
Yeah. So
y'all had that same swag. You know, y'all was out there, you know, doing it. Of course, hip-hop was becoming big, you know, when y'all started coming along. So now you had Chuck D, Fight the Power. You know, you had all those guys, Jam, EPMD. You know, you guys just rolled the ship right with those guys, man. And I watched you play, and I said, when I watched Juwan Howard play and just listening to you just talk to our listeners, you just wanted to win. And that's what I saw. When I watched you play, I said, man, he don't even care if he shoots the ball. He's passing, he's moving, he's setting screens, he's getting the offensive rebound. He's very vocal. You know, he was always talking. And I was like, man, I love that dude, man. And I remember my first time meeting you when you came to visit Illinois. And, yeah. And I don't even know if you know, you said it walking past me. You said, man, they got my idol playing center. You said that, and I was like, and I heard you. I'm like, Lo Hamilton, or you know, man, they got my man, my idol playing center, man. He said, and I'm a center, and I don't even want to be that. So I remember that, man. I remember that when you
Hey, man. Wow, you know, I was tripping on that throughout your collegiate career, man. I'm like, man, like. Man. This dude is a guard. Like he got guard skills and man, he was center. Like and that back then it was more traditional where a center was a guy that played with his back to the basket, could never handle the basketball, and he could just stay in the paint. And I'm like, yo, your skill set was like magic. Like you can handle the ball. You had a high IQ. You see plays before it happens. You can shoot it from the outside. You got a lot of wiggle in your game. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, he's sacrificing for the team. You know, and I guess that's what he's doing. But you know, that's much respect to you.
Yeah, you know, I think like you probably had people that can help you, that help you along the way, your recruiting process. We might as well just go right into it, man. You had some people that was in your life, man, that's no longer here. You know, my man Juice, you know, big shout out, man, you know, to what he was, you know, with you, man. Y'all was like Batman and Robin. Every time, you know, you saw, you know, Juwan, you saw Juice, you know, and we know he's no longer with you. And then you lost another, you know, good friend, you know, Donnie Kersley. So, man, it's been like a turmoil for you, man. And I just want to say my condolences to you, man, because I know how much they meant to you, you know, how much they really meant to you. So, especially Donnie. You know, because I think Donnie actually had the opportunity of coaching you.
Yes, yes, that's true.
So man, I just want to say that.
Appreciate that.
But you had people like that in your life, you know, Donnie, you know, Juice, and watching you and helping you, you know, make some kind of decision, some of these decisions that you had to make, these tough decisions, you know, especially a young 17, 18-year-old kid, man. We don't know it all, you know. So I personally didn't have that. You know, it was like Cox was helping me, of course, but I didn't have that. My mother and father, they didn't know nothing about this recruiting process, especially with somebody on that elite type talent that all these colleges are coming at you.
Right, right.
So it was overwhelming for me, you know, so I can only imagine what it was for you, you know, coming up in the 90s, how, you know, it started to get crazy, right. You know, so you had people like that. So how did you like really like separate yourself from all of the hoopla to become, you know, more, you know, settled and saying, you know what, let me think this whole process out?
Yeah, great question. You know, what there was two people that helped me. Donnie Kersley was one, as well as Coach Cook.
Coach Cook,
who's the head coach at CVS at the time, he was the other person that helped me because it was new to me and also to my grandmother. My grandmother, she was a little overwhelmed with a lot of the phone calls that was coming to the house and all the letters that I was bringing home from school. It started piling up and it became more junk than anything. And, you know, as a kid, you know, I looked at that as like, you know, a way of like, man, I arrived, I guess. I guess I got an opportunity to go to college, you know, all these colleges are coming at me with these letters. So then when the recruiting process picked up, my grandmother was okay with like allowing Coach Cook and Coach Donnie to be that the guy that really take control of the process. The guy that really took control of it. And he helped us, you know, and they helped organize a lot of the home visits. They also, my grandmother did a great job of, you know, inviting a lot of those schools over and then cooking food for them. And she connected extremely well with a lot of the schools, some of their head coaches and assistant coaches. But ultimately, they wanted me to make the decision that was best for me, because she knew that I was going to be the one that had to go to school there. The only thing she always talked about was that basketball is fun, exciting game, but it's not guaranteed. I want you to get your education. Boy, that's what she said, boy. She said, promise me you're going to get your degree. And so I started looking at it like, well, I got to choose a school that not only is good on the basketball, but also that will help prepare me for life after that, and give me that education that if I do get that degree, you know, I'll be able to use it and walk into a job when I retire or if basketball doesn't work out. And so she really enjoyed Michigan and liked the coach, Coach Fisher and Brian Dutcher and Coach Boyd. But she never tried to make me or help steer me in the direction of Michigan. She allowed me to figure it all out on my own.
Go ahead, Bob. I know you got something
for me. You know I'm sitting over here waiting, boy. I'm like an AK-47 over here just waiting, man. Juwan, we from the same, basically the same hood. You from 95th, I'm from 102nd. We from the 100, so we basically from the same era.
Right.
Dude, we lost Ben back in the days. Liv came through. He was a breath of fresh air. But you in the hood, man. How did you make it out of there? Because we from basically from the same area, man. It's crime over there, bro.
Yeah, man. Outlaw gangsters, man. They looked out for me, man. They really did, man. That neighborhood, man. I learned a lot about, you know, getting uncomfortable. I learned a lot about, you know, if you really want to do this basketball thing, there's some physical and mental toughness that we're going to put you through in this neighborhood that's going to prepare you. So I played a lot of basketball inside, you know, those gates of Lowden Homes. And mm-hmm. learned from guys by the name of Ivory Banks. He's one of the OGs that, you know, everyone respected in the neighborhood. But he also taught me a lot about the game of basketball by kicking my butt on the court. Darren Brittman was another one. He grew up in the same neighborhood, you know. Mm-hmm. He was another one. He and his family that really took me under their wing and helped me a lot. You know, Darren Brittman also went to CBS, and many people don't know. Right. But I learned a lot of the things from him of what to do and what not to do. Another group of people in that neighborhood, besides those two, you know, just collectively the neighborhood itself protected mm-hmm. me in a lot of ways, because they started to see and also read in the newspaper that, like, hey, you know, Big New got a chance to do something. You know, he's, you know, his basketball thing is looking like it's looking promising for him. So the neighborhood really started to like rally behind me and protect me.
Right.
Yeah, I think that happened with a lot of hoopers too, you know, especially because mm-hmm. most of us come from, you know, gang environments, you know, and from our neighborhood. And they see you about to do something positive, and they're going to, you know, give you that pass. But basically, we call it a hooper pass.
Yep.
Man, ain't nobody going to mess with you, man. You good. You just keep doing what you're doing, and everything's going to take care of itself. I want to put this up there right quick, Newton. You tell me about this right here, man. Just tell me about this right here. This is a game against Indiana. Was you trying to let Bobby Knight know that we are for real, you know, because you shot that jump shot and you turned around and you just wanted to raise the roof up in that place. You know, what was you trying to let them know that we for real? We just not no young freshmen, but we the real deal?
Yeah, no doubt about it, bro. I was wanting to let the entire, you know, Indiana, whoever was in that gym, to know that, like, you know, there's no intimidation that's happening here. You're not going to get us off our path. And at the same time, you know, the referees, you're not going to allow, you know, this one person, I'm not going to say his name, intimidates you. We got to get this dub. And I was going to let him hear it. You know,
Same time,
try to inspire our team. You know, like, you know, we need to bring some more energy because Indiana with Calvert Chaney, being like that frontliner and best player on their team. And then you had a guy like Allen Henderson and many others, Damon Bailey. There were times they'll get that whistle, man, some favorable calls, man. And it really frustrated. And I'm sure you can attest to this. Yeah. The time you used to have to play against, what's that guard, Edwards or something like that?
Jay Edwards.
Yeah. I used to watch y'all games. Y'all didn't always get a favorable whistle there either.
Yeah.
It was a tough play to play.
Yeah, until Nick put a damper on to that, man, and one of those shots, man.
It was a game-winning shot, right?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I was just watching that earlier today. I was like, man, look how Juwan is just pumping up his teammates, man. I keep seeing that. And every video I was watching of you, you were always pumping your teammates up, you know. And I was like, is that something that was already in you, or is that something you just had to – you know, grow, it had to grow into you that you was always that enthusiastic and you wanted to be, you know, part of, because I was a quiet kid. I wasn't that rah, rah, rah type player.
Yeah.
Like, you were that type of player.
Yeah, good question, man. You know, like, we all obviously lead in different ways. And some of us are quiet leaders by doing it with their actions. Some are vocal leaders. Some are inspiring leaders with their emotion. And my thing was, now, I know Jalen was that guy that had the ball in his hands, going to be the decision maker, then also a bucket getter. Chris Webber is just Chris. I mean, he was the most dominant force in college basketball. He does it with his growl and everything. But we also had to have someone that would be able to lead vocally by, you know, the leadership on the floor, by saying the right things. You had to have someone that will inspire others to be able to uplift them when they're down, and also pat them on the back when they're doing well. And so, like, I took on that role of, like, yo, I'm going to be a leader because that's the only thing I know. That's who I am. But at the same time, you know, at times we got to have somebody that's going to lead with emotion, because Jimmy King was more of a quiet leader.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Jackson, you know, didn't say much himself. And so, like, you know, I'm like, man, you know, I looked around, I'm like, well, it got to be somebody, so I elected myself. And the guys, man, to their defense, they trusted me, and we trusted one another. So we was able to allow, you know, each person express and be themselves. And I think that's what also made our team unique in a lot of ways, where guys were able to be expressive, and we understood, you know, who you were and respected each and every man.
And Juwan, not only that you guys have to do that, I think you had to have a great coach that will let you guys be yourselves too, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we have players picking schools because of the name, because of the colors. They got the nice colors, uniforms, and this and that. But then they get to the school, and they're like, but I don't like the coach. The coach is not, you know, who I really want to play for, you know, but you already made that decision. So you had that type of coach, I think, that let you guys be yourselves, right? Let you guys, each one of you guys had different personalities, what you just spoke upon. And I saw that. You could see that on the court, that each one of y'all had y'all own thing that y'all brought to the table. I think that's what made you guys special. That's what made a lot of inner city people, children growing up, like you guys, because they were saying, that's me. Juwan Howard is me. Jalen Rose is me. Chris Webber, that's me. You know, so now they're seeing it on a national scale, national television, seeing you guys. And I think you guys opened the floodgates for more kids, more inner city kids to enjoy basketball, that want to play basketball. And I think that was all because of, you know, your coach, your head coach. Now, are you going to be that type of coach, Juwan, that you looking for personnel that fits your personality?
Yes. Well, first, I want to say that you're right when it comes to the coach. And Steve Fisher was that coach, man, that really allowed us to be ourselves and was accepting of that. And and did not try to put us in a box and feel that we need to, you know, react or act in a certain way that he feels is best served on how he thinks is the right way to do it. You know, his right way of doing it is allowing us to be us, but at the same time, growing with us. And that, I thought that was what allowed each and every player to trust coach, and coach trusted us. And that's why our culture was, you know, fun to play in, you know. And Coach Fisher, you know, he doesn't get enough credit as a coach on the collegiate level, in my opinion. You know, he should be looked at as a Hall of Famer as well because of all the stuff that he's done at San Diego State and turning that program around, being a, like a small Division I mid-major, some would say now, it's turned into a powerhouse, you know, and they every year. And Brian Dutcher has taken over and really taken that program to new heights. So as far as my coaching style now today, you know, I've been able to implement a lot of what Coach Fisher and bringing into my style of coaching and other coaches I played for in the NBA and been able to put it all in one box and now allow my team to have an identity where our guys can be expressive. When I look at for when I go to recruit, I find guys that shares the same vision of winning, also is able to understand and accept coaching, but then know that they have a coach that's going to fight for them, that's going to develop them, and then when basketball is over, that he's always going to have a relationship with them in life. It's not just about the 1 to 4 years that they're going to be here at the University of Michigan. You know, our relationship is going to be a relationship that lasts a lifetime. You know, I want to have, you know, that opportunity to be able to watch them graduate, watch them get married, get a chance to meet their kids, also allow them to come to the school whenever they want to bring their families, because this is their home and it will always be their home. And then last but not least, you know, we talk about, you know, being a family atmosphere, and that's what this culture here at the University of Michigan is all about. Like, our players should always be welcome. Anytime when they want to step foot on this campus, because I've always admired and respected it. The guys that played before me, guys that came after me, and you know, I want this university to know that when we say Michigan, we look at Michigan being a family.
Yeah, I see that.
Hey, let me hop in real quick, Liv. Hey, Juwan, Coach Howard, man, you shocked the world this year. At the beginning of the season, by bringing in a kid that I have been knowing since probably third, fourth grade, watching him play Mike Smith. So when you brought Mike Smith over there, he was like, who is this dude? Let me tell you, that boy was a pro as a kid. And when you brought him over there, you saw the same thing I saw, right, Coach Howard?
Yes, I did, man. And I saw, you know, a guy that was a competitor, loves basketball. Your teammates can always enjoy being around him. A guy that want to be coached, that's going to accept coaching. And then also a guy that I'm going to learn from too. Like, I'm always open to learning as a coach. So that's why, like, Mike has a voice on this team. And I trusted Mike, so I gave him the ball and, you know, and allowed him to, you know, be himself. But at the same time, empowering him to know that, you know, we ask you to lead us. And he accepted the challenge. Some people looked at him as being undersized, and I think that was one of his biggest strengths, because he's always been looked at as being undersized. So he has a chip on his shoulder, and a guy like that, I want to be in a foxhole with. So Mike, man, you know, he did a phenomenal job with us last season. And you know, he came from Columbia, Ivy League school, didn't get the chance to play on the Power Five conference. So Mike was just, you know, excited about this opportunity, and I think he maximized to the fullest by leading Elite Eight.
He did, man. He did.
But I also see, Juwan, you as one of those coaches that don't get caught up in those stars, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 star players. You look with your own eyes, your test. You looking at it and saying, you know what? This kid can play at Michigan. You know, yeah. This kid can play in this conference, you know, the Big Ten. So that's what I look when I see you bringing in these players, you know, even with the guy you just got last year, you know, this is coming up season that's going to be playing as a freshman, Isaiah Bones, you know, the same way, you know, he kind of slipped, you know, through the cracks. Nobody was really talking. And then all of a sudden, Texas Tech offered him. Then another school offered him. Then, you know, then it just got big. But I know you were watching, like, how can he help Michigan? You know, you watching all the other things, people looking at the talent, but you looking at, okay, I can use him on this. I can do this. Oh, he plays great defense because the kid is super athletic.
Yes,
I think he brings more to the table than what people really see.
Yeah, Lib, I do not look at the stars, man. I do not get caught up in the 5 stars and the 4 stars. You know, I look at the guys that I know that fits our culture. And, you know, and then we're not for everyone. That's a fact. And that being said, like, if you're about sacrificing, you're about allowing us to coach you, develop you, and like I said, look, we'll learn from you as well, then we're for you, you know, and this is a place for you. And so Isaiah Barnes, you know, like, he was a young kid that, you know, very soft-spoken. But you can see the competitiveness in him, super skilled. He's growing with this, you know, with this development each and every day that he comes into this building, because he's, like you said, he's super athletic. He also can shoot the basketball, which has not been talked about a lot. I've seen a lot of, like, growth in his shot. Also, he's getting better with creating his own shot off the dribble. He's getting stronger. I mean, this kid got a chance to be something special. And I don't know how long I'm going to keep him, but I'm going to enjoy every year being around him because, you know, he's fun to come in here and coach every day because, you know, he just wants more and more. You know, when he walks into the building, and he just goes about his job. Like, he doesn't, like, you know, going to be the loudest guy in the building, nor he's going to make sure you hear him. He's going to make sure you hear him and see him by his work that he put in practice. And that's a guy that I'm, you know, I want in the trenches with me. So I'm just happy he's on our side. and last but not least, you know, he's from Chicago. So, you know, that's the part of that I really can relate with him on, being the fact that he's from where we grew up. So he's one of us all day.
Right.
Hey, can I get off basketball real quick, Liv, with him real quick?
Go ahead. I'm going to step right.
Hey, Coach Howard, man, back when I came home from college, because I went to Jackson State and I was there with your boy Lindsey Hunter, but you threw a party, man, like back in 1994 out in Indiana.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I seen what it felt like to kick it like the NBA player, dude. You remember that scene in Tupac when he was in the jacuzzi tub with them two girls and I get around? That was me at your party, man. I appreciate that party.
You basically tell me you was inside that pool hanging out.
Inside the mansion.
Yeah, when I had the bongos over there, you know, near the pool playing for y'all. It was a nice little environment, man. And, you know, we had the jet skis outside where you can rent jet skis. And then we also had, you know, free food, you know.
It was everything, man. I tell you, I was telling me and my boys, we still talk about that to this day. Because the people who got there late, it was too late. And it's unfortunate that guys like you, you know, you was able to do it for us, people like us, for us to enjoy some of your success. These guys can't do that nowadays, man. Why do you think that is? What was the break off with that? Because, I mean, we could walk right up to you. I remember you coming up to Princeton on 99 from Princeton when Tony McCoy had the Pro-Am up there. You walk right up. No problem. You know? What happened?
Well, I don't know what happened, but I just know, man, that I've never been a type of guy to shy away from people, you know, and living life to the fullest. And so I'm never, you know, more or bigger than you are. I don't look at myself as better than you. I'm very humbled by the blessings that God has put forth in my path. And I support everyone. And I really do. I genuinely care about people. So that has always been my mindset, you know. Other folks got different type of mindsets. And at times, like when you look on social media, I think social media has really taken, you know, a lot of the fun away from people, man. and is really like, you know, put a lot of negative light and a lot and negative, you know, images in people's minds. And so that's what ends up, like, you know, leading off to different things that takes away from just enjoying life. And so that's why I've been so annoyed with by watching a lot of stuff on social media and what I'm seeing. Like, it's not like how it used to be back in our day where you're able to go to a party and have a good time and not have to worry about, you know, shooting or killing. Not saying we didn't have any of that back then, but you know, right now what it's like, it's just like it got really bad, man. You know, and this would make you nervous or afraid to do anything or go outside or have a good time.
So that's why I gotta
guard it now, because they just don't know. The trust is not there.
Well, here goes one of your alums right here, man. It jumped on the page. It's my man, and I know you know him. So here he goes.
That's the old one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got Higgs. What's your size, man?
In the rafters at the crisis. I need a pair of those new sneakers.
Yo, Higgs, man, you gotta send his size and his address.
So Higgs, you gotta send your size, man. Text me your size, Higgs, and I'll get it to him for you, man, because we all in this together, man, trying to help. Not only do I see you as a coach, but I see you as a mentor. And I don't know if you guys touched on that when I stepped away, but I see you more of a mentor giving kids, like I heard y'all talking about the social media. Here's the do's and the don'ts of what can happen. If you put something out there negative, it's going to be hard for it to be taken away. If you put something out there positive, now you may get bigger endorsement deals, you know, so people can like you. So I always say, if I ever jumped into be a college coach one day, I'm going to be more so a mentor than a coach. You know, I mean, the coaching part will become easier. The mentoring part is hard to me, you know, so to get kids to trust and believe in you.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll get that to Sean Higgins. We'll get that to you, Sean, man. I know you always rocking that Michigan blue on television when they playing football. So we're going to make sure you get that.
That's OG, man. We definitely going to make sure he gets it, man. Yo, that dude from – I just got to talking about somebody about Higgs, man, being from L.A. It was one cap that was from L.A. He talked about Higgs, but I was just telling him about how Higgs had, like, you know, similar like you, 6'9", that played the guard position. You know, a lot of these guys, like the Tatums of the world and Kevin Durant, like, those guys remind me of you and Higgs, man.
Yeah.
Real talk.
No, like, before y'all time, Liv.
Yeah. No, man. Higgs, I respect Higgs' game. Higgs respect my game. Dennis Scott. I mean, we were all in that same. Even Lloyd Daniels. Like, me and Lloyd Daniels talk, you know. So we were all in that same boat together in 87, man. And we still friends to this day, you know. So even though we were battling, you know, we still off the court buddies, you know. And I think that's so important, man. I got something I want to show Newt one more time, man, and it's going to crack him up. I know he's going to laugh at this.
Yeah, everybody, Cabbage Patching.
And then he brought the new school. That's the new school right there. He did the new school. Man, I love it, man. So the reason why I wanted to put that one up there, because if I was your player and I see my coach getting down like that, man, I'm like, man, he is so cool. I go through a wall for this dude, man. You know, so what made you come up with that, man? That's when after a bucket or after the celebration, you wanted to do that cabbage patch, man.
This was like, you know, the dance back then when it, you know, it was very popular dance. And so, like, I don't know what got to me. You know, I think we beat Ohio State. And Ohio State, we had struggled, you know, with Ohio State the entire season. We lost to them twice, one in our building, one in their building. One was a close game. And then we played them the third time in Elite Eight. And we played them in Lexington, Kentucky. And the game goes to overtime. And, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times. And we were playing against juniors and seniors who, you know, Jimmy Jackson led that team and one of the best guards in that class, and we end up pulling out the victory. And I don't know what got to me. The emotions got to me. I pulled out the cabbage patch.
You gotta give all balls.
All dances, man. So I always say this, man. I say, yo, man, we make it any championships or make it to the Final Four. That's gonna always be the championship dance. Is the cabbage patch. No matter how cool I get.
John Higgins just said it. He said Juwan is the cabbage pack king. Oh man. Also, man, make sure you tell Big Shug I said what's up too, man. Terry Mills. Is he still doing the radio for you guys too?
Yes, he is. I would do that, man.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. But let's talk a little bit about the NBA now, man. I know you gotta run. But let's talk about the NBA. This is a clip I found too of you doing something nasty to somebody. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that play, man. That was over Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Here go again in slow mo. I said.
He saw that off arm, man.
Were you trying to take the Bulls something, man? That, hey, man, y'all should have got me over there, you know, because you.
It was like this, bro, man. I was never known to be the most athletic. So I was going to the hoop and I was like, yo, whoever's going to jump, I'm going to definitely try to make sure I make this a nice, strong move where you either have to foul me or whatever. And the Bulls being the Bulls, having, you know, MJ, Scotty, and then, you know, has also had Dennis. And, you know, that team was, you know, as we all know, a championship team for many, many years. They was looked as, you know, that team, those dudes. And so we were, as a young team, was trying to get on their level, but we were extremely young. We were the youngest team in the NBA. And we were now starting to make a mark. I'm like, yo, this is a game that if you really a competitor, it will get you're going to show them that, you know, you belong, or you're going to get exposed. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. I had to bring it, man. And I think that's what's different now. Like, today's game, they're competitive, don't get me wrong, but there's not any rivalries that I see that like how it was back in our day. Like, there were NBA teams that had rivalries that, like, you wasn't trying to team up with MJ. Mm-hmm. They tried to, of course, you know, now sign you. I mean, yeah, you probably would end up going if the money was right, but I wasn't going to, like, you know, just take any money and go play with MJ. I wanted to play against him. Mm-hmm.
So that was another one of our – you know, listeners right there had a comment, and they basically telling you about your leadership already, man. Isaiah Barnes, somebody related to Isaiah Barnes, said, Isaiah said, you're the greatest coach on earth. You know, so kids are respecting you, man. And I think you're going to get so many people, like you said, you're going to have to, you can't get 100, 200 kids on your team, you know, so you're going to have to, like, and you might hurt some feelings, but man, that's a good feeling to have.
Have walk-ons, Juwan?
Yes, I do. It's a great feeling to have, and it's very humbling too. And we have, you know, only 13 scholarships, and, you know, I usually take about 4 to 5 walk-ons per year. And some of those walk-ons are, you know, like I have like 3 other spots for next year that will be open, and that will be walk-on spots. But, yeah, you're right. There have been nowadays, you know, we've had – a lot of like recruits do want to come here. And I remember when I first got hired, you know, like it was hard for me to even sign, you know, or get a few of these top players to commit here because they didn't know. They didn't know what, you know, me coming from the NBA, if I knew how to coach, and, you know, all they knew about was the coaches that they had seen had so much success. And that was, granted, you know, I understood, you know, why, you know, some was hesitant. But you know, I'm okay with proving myself, and I've always had to prove myself, so it wasn't anything new to me. But one thing I'm always going to do is try to work extremely hard to better myself as a coach, to have the growth mindset to grow, because I ask the same of my players to work on their game, to improve their skill set. So why not me? So, and if I don't have an answer, you know, I'm always looking for to asking, you know, and finding the answer, and don't try to act like I do know. If I don't know, I have an answer to a question, I'm okay with and humbled to say I don't know the answer to it. And my players, and that was very generous and nice of the see Isaiah says something like that. I'm gonna do whatever I can to help him and his teammates to be better players and better people in life, because that's what his mom and dad has done. And why not? They're passing the torch to me for these next 4 years. I better not mess it up.
Right.
And I'm not going to mess it up.
Hey, real quick, Juwan, I know you got to cut out. I know you're going to have to cut out. But, you know, my son's mom, she was talking to Phil Martelli. And, you know, Phil Martelli is a straight shooter. About my son, he was going to try to come get a workout with you guys. But you guys were loaded. But nevertheless, Phil Martelli went through all loops, man, sending him schools and stuff like that. Talk about Phil Martelli, man. Is that your mentor? Because that guy is just – he didn't have to do this stuff, man. And I just think so much of him, man, for helping my family out.
Well, you know, that's nice of you to say that, because I had no idea, man, that Phil has been doing that behind the scenes. But I'm not surprised, because, you know, when I went out and I was like, you know what, I got to find the right assistant coaches that fits my personality, that also are grinders, that care about these young men, and that are selfless in a lot of ways. And one of the things that, you know, I knew that was important is trust. And so with Phil Martelli, all the experience he's had for all the years in the collegiate level, this man right here is the pure as they come. And you talk about, is he one of my mentors? Damn right he is, you know? I've learned a lot from him. Same goes for Howard Eisley. He's an amazing person. You know, everyone talks about him that's from Detroit and outside of Detroit on how such a great guy he is. You know, and that's the reason why I want to surround myself around those type of people. Saadi Washington, who's, you know, from the state of Michigan and coached at Oakland University. He also was a part of the Coach Beeline staff. I got a chance and got to know him, and I was like, man, he's the perfect guy who I would love to have to retain, because he fits my personality. And then even though we all have differences and we all have different strengths, you know, I feel with all of us combined, there's no weakness.
Right.
All right, so we got a question right there for Juwan. He said, do you think Orlando, if they keep Chris Webber along with Shaq, could they make that work? Chris was versatile. I think it could have been great. They already had D. Scott and Nick.
Yeah, I think so. I think Chris would have loved playing with Shaq, because then that gave him an opportunity to play a little bit on the perimeter. Chris is also a great passer, a willing passer. And Shaq, we all know how dominant he was. And, you know, and Shaq, when he was playing for Orlando, man, you know, like, people forget, like, that dude at that size was – one of the most athletic, quickest guys that I have ever seen. And along with the skill set, I just think that would have been one of the most dominant front lines ever. And then you have those two shooters like Dennis Scott, Nick Anderson. I mean, you could never double any of those Shaq or Chris, because they're throwing it out to the perimeter. And you got two of the best three-point shooters knocking shots down from the perimeter. And then Penny would have been on a different team, but you can put any point guard with that team.
Yeah, you're right. I think, man, Orlando dropped the ball on that, coach. Yeah. They thinking about that right now, because they didn't get nothing out of that. Yeah, Miss Foster told me to tell you what's up, man. I'm sorry, Miss Foster.
That's my girl, man.
I know.
So she just we don't get her on too. She just wanted to say something about you too, man, of how, you know, and the impact that you have put on Chicago with your camps and doing your thing, you know, with that, and having her come out and help as well. I just think, man, Chicago gets a bad rap sometimes because of all the senseless violence that we have going on in Chicago now. But we still have people like yourself who were doing great things in the city. Miss Foster, who is also doing great things in the city, that it's a lot of hate
you know, hatred going on, that people just, if it's not for you, it's not for you. You don't have to say anything bad about a person just because she's out there or you out there, Juwan, doing your thing. So you guys think if it's okay to say some bad things about that person. You know, she's taking time out of her day, you know, long hours, being in that gym, teaching, giving instructions to young kids. I'm talking about these kids are like third and fourth grade. I saw her. I watched her do, you know. Yes. And I'm like, wow.
They love her though.
Yeah, but I understood why she was doing it. She was doing it because she was like, I don't want these kids to go to high school and not know, you know, or not be disciplined enough to understand, you know, what's right and wrong.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. To your point, man, like, I've always admired, you know, Coach Foster and obviously many others that are coming in our city that behind the scenes that don't get recognized for all the hard work and the effort and but the most important, the love that they putting in to the, you know, our youth in the grassroots, trying to help our kids find a different way of life that what they're seeing right now, because what they're seeing right now is, you know, so much of the killings and a lot of the negativity. And then what that ended up doing is, at times it puts a negative mindset that thinking like, you know what, well, I can't make it. I can't get out because of all this that's happening. And it make it an excuse space. But Miss Foster and many others are like, you know what, you know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to put my time, my love and passion into you. I'm not asking anything in return, but to see you be successful. I mean, God is going to always continue to keep paying the Mrs. Fosters of the world because of, you know, they know where her heart is at and whether those people that's like her really want the best for our youth. And, you know, I wish we had many more Mrs. Fosters because she's been great for, you know, me and my family, helping my kids and worked at high school and all the other stuff that she's doing behind the scenes that people don't see that she don't even ask to get credit for. So much respect. Hats off to Miss Foster and many others like Miss Foster.
That's right. And before we go, that's what, Bob, you got one more?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell him, shout out to him for doing those camps for free, because you did it for free. And yes. My sons went every year, and you took a picture. It was 200-300 kids there. You took a picture with every kid, man. And a lot of dudes don't do that. And one particular year, I was out there with your pops and Danny Spencer. We was barbecuing in the back.
Yeah.
We were having a good time back there. I just want to tell you, thank you for that, big dog. I ate good, drank good. Shout out to big Juwan Howland, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, man. I do it for anything for the kids. If I didn't have this NCAA rules, not being a head coach, no, you cannot like be involved with now, like they call it young prospects and having a camp back in Chicago. I can't do that anymore because of my job now. But if I didn't have this job, I was kept doing
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, now guys like Jabari Parker, who was one of my campers at my camp, now he does a nice basketball camp for the kids in the inner city, man. So shout outs to Jabari Parker, man, much respect. And also many others like Jabari Parker that I didn't say that are doing stuff for our youth, man, in the community, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, right? You're right. So what kind of advice would you give somebody, Juwan, before we get out of here, whether that's a parent or a kid or a youngster that wants to get involved and playing basketball and the parent probably don't know anything about it, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I would say this, man, like some of the best things you can do is get them involved in some of these basketball camps, clinics that are all across the U.S., but particularly in the Chicago area. Basketball is, you know, I would say, the number one sport, arguably, and we always have some type of clinic or basketball camp or tournament that we host throughout the year. Get the kids involved in activities like that. If the kid wants to play basketball, will help inspire them to become a better basketball player. But at the end of the day, what the sport does is teaches you a lot of life lessons about, you know, teamwork, getting uncomfortable, as well as dealing with adversity. and what that's going to do is just help you with your development as you get older. No matter what, you know, in life, we all go through a little, you know, adversity patches. But, you know, it's all about how you will respond when it hits you.
My man. My man. Yeah. Hey, that's the way to end the show, man, on something like that, what Juwan just said. But also, what's your favorite podcast, man? All Ball Chicago.
Much love to All Ball Chicago, baby. You know,
that's right, my man.
Thank you all for having me.
Before you go, Coach, man, I know you're in that gym hollering all the time. I created these social distance devices called the Culture, man. You got a wireless headset and a waist amplifier. Amplify the voice 500 square feet. You ain't got to do all that hollering no more. You in practice? Put the Culture on, baby. You ain't got to do no more hollering, man.
So he wants to
send you one for free, man, for the free 99 to Coach Howard, baby.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
I'm dropping it in the mail today when I leave. Liv, good job, Liv. You got new, baby. Let's go.
The legend, man. The legend, you know, and I would definitely send my kid. If I had a son, he would be right there with Juwan.
Thank you, man. Right. That means a lot, man.
Sir. My man, appreciate
you. God bless you, Big Hop, Big Juwan. God bless you, man.
All right, and I'll see you when you come down this way, too.
Yes, sir. You sure will, brother.
All right, peace.
Big Noop in the building, baby. Yeah. Liv, great interview, man. You were like Ted Koppel up in here, baby.
Man, go on, dude. I just think, man, that when we talk to our guests, man, it's all about them. But also, you got to ask the right questions, too, man, of what, you know, what is going to take, you know, for a guy like Juwan to get more kids, you know, down there. So we brought him on the show so they can hear him. They can hear him talk.
Well, I know he heard talk. He got 3 walk-on spots left. And even though we wanted Scotty, man, I sent Colin down there, man. Get some workout. Let Colin come get some workout, man. We'll pay for it, baby.
Yeah,
anybody, I mean, because this guy, I mean, like I say, Liv, I've been knowing Mike Smith since he was a shorty. Remember I told you? So when he brought him over there, I was totally shocked because this dude, he's just a talent. You know, he gave up his size, a little size, but he was a heady guard, and that was a great decision that he made, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you always, like I always say to coaches, you know, you pick the team or you get in the team, you know, to fit your personality. You know, sometimes coaches don't do that.
Right.
And then it becomes a problem later on, you know.
Right, right.
But no, he's doing a great job at Michigan, you know, and I wish him nothing but success. But I don't want him to beat my Illinois team. Now, I don't want him to beat Illinois, man. But even though they got us in 89, man, for the championship, but. But no, man, I love Juwan, man, and Juwan is going to be a great coach and, man, definitely doing his thing there in Michigan.
Hey, man, let me give a shout-out to both of you guys, man, for just keeping yourself out of trouble, you know, keeping your names clean, you know, not reverting to crime when things wasn't going the way that you wanted to go. You know, y'all stayed on the straight and narrow, man, so shout-out to you and Juwan, man, because y'all had the name. You could have been top flight dope boys, man. Anybody would have gave you some work.
But it was Chicago. Think about it, man. It was Chicago that braced us, you know.
Right.
We started doing stuff and being in the media and newspapers. Chicago supported that, you know.
Like, we ain't letting nothing happen to y'all,
that's
man.
It. That's right. You know, so yep. it was all Chicago, man, that did that, you know. So my love is always going to be Chicago, and you can hear it in his voice. It's always going to be Chicago.
That's yeah, because you got that ass whooped out here. You know you got that ass warmed up in the projects playing ball, didn't you, Liv? That's what made you the number one player in the nation, the McDonald's All-American, that made you the NBA veteran. Because if you don't go through that, just like him at Princeton Park Loading Homes on 95th, like people think that these guys like you just automatically got good. Somebody had to kick that ass, Liv. Man, you know, you have brothers.
The adults always was the one that was better than me, you know. But
right.
You know, shoot. But I learned. You know, I learned. And then when I got taller, it was like, no, no, no.
Let me ask you something real quick, though. Did you know that he had that level of admiration for you, though? Like no, that?
No, no.
He called you his idol.
No, I didn't, man. But I appreciate it. You know, I'm very humble of that, too, that he's speaking so highly of me. Of watching me get down when I was a youngster in high school, you know. But again, give people their roses while they still here, man.
I was just going to say that, man.
You know, it's so many times, like, and I don't want to wish death on myself, but if I die tomorrow, you know, people going to start saying, you know, things, you know.
They're going to write their own story, aren't they?
Yeah, and writing your stories, whatever it may be. You know, why not tell that person why they're still here what they meant to you? You know, I'll do it all. I do it all the time. And, you know, my older brother, Edgar and Duro, you know, and my cousins and my uncles, they the one who made me who I am today. And then I had coaches who planted their seeds in me that I took along the way too. And they still my friends to this day, you know, and mentors as well. You know, Coach Gluck at Hardigan High School, Sonny Cox, Mr. White at Crane, G.K. Smith. Those were all Lou Henson, Jimmy Collins. Those are all guys that played a part of my life and my upbringing, man. It's going to always be that.
That's what's up, man. But without further ado, you know I got to go do my yoga. Yeah.
Yep.
So, man, that was a great one right there, man. We got Miss Foster coming up, man. Miss Foster going to join us, man. So that was a good interview, man.
Any shout outs you want to give out?
Hey, but Lib, I damn near wasn't going to say nothing because I could not actually believe that I'm sitting here with you and Juwan Howard talking basketball. Like, I did something right with my life, man, because you just don't get on these type of platforms and you with the legends, man. So shout out to what I did good, whatever that was. Shout out to everybody, man. Danny Spencer, he hit me up. He hit me in my inbox and said, tell Juwan what's up. We had Daryl Jefferson. He said, what's up? Errol Roy Nicole. LeVar Milan, is that how you pronounce that? Yeah. Emma Bruce, she said, hey, Marcus.
That's my low-end sister.
Stan T.O. Anderson, good stuff, guest. Conversation needs to be had. Yes, sir. Let me see. Brandon Hewitt, Doc deserves his admiration. Brandon Hewitt, the list goes on and on. Nick Anderson, he hopped on. You say, what's up with my brothers?
My man.
Could you imagine a team with you, Nick, Juwan? Let's just start with that.
Yeah. But Juwan would have missed Nick, though. But he'd have got me. He would have got me, but he would have missed Nick.
All right, because Nick was 86 and he was 90.
Yeah. He would have got me. He would have got my senior year would have been his freshman year.
Ooh, you and him and Deion Thomas?
Oh, unstoppable.
That national title. And then y'all had Kewan Garrett, didn't y'all?
No, Kewan came later too, I think.
He came later, okay.
It would have been TJ Willer and Deion Thomas, Brooks Taylor, you know, those guys. But it would have been awesome, man, to see him. So you heard it first. You know,
everybody would go to Illinois.
I mean, you gotta watch that squad, man. That squad was a man.
I remember. But I'm shocked that everybody was going to say they was going to go there, but didn't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, things happen.
I know, but how it all, like Ronnie Fields, imagine that. Jamie Brandon, you know. The list goes on and on, but I could talk to you all day, you know that. Man, make sure y'all go subscribe to our YouTube page, All Ball Chicago. Go on iHeartRadio, man, download. All the streaming apps, All Ball Chicago, is everywhere you want to listen to podcasts, baby. Me and my boy Marcus Liberty, man, we loving it. We love Chicago, and this is all about y'all, not about us, man.
Man, you look like Urkel a little bit, man. All right, I'm gone.
Like and subscribe. Thank y'all for watching. Chicago, All Ball, Chi-town, All Ball, Chicago.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.